Blog Talk Radio.
We have such an incredible show coming up. Last Sunday, I had the pleasure to meet our brilliant and spirited author, Ruth Magan, at an event we both attended. Her heart and soul has literally been placed in all of her books that I've gone through, and I just couldn't help but have her with us today. Ruth, is it Megan or Megan?
Actually, it's Megan, but Megan's my middle name, so if people say Ruth Megan, that is my name, sounds right.
So Ruth Megan Megan.
Right, exactly.
Ruth says that we all can have a fun and meaningful relationship with our spirit guides and angels, even without having psychic gifts or special training. And in her latest book, Laughing with Angels, boy, it's a beautiful book, her spirit guides and angels encouraged her to write another book just for children called My Angel, My Friend, which is a gentle, colorful picture book that introduces children to the concept that they have a guardian angel, too. And she says children need to feel safe and secure, especially during tumultuous times. So it's very comforting for them to know they have a special angel to love and watch over them. And now her book that I have in my hands, Laughing with Angels, talks about every subject you want to know about and even those you might have skipped over. Plus, it's funny, too.
Well, Ruth, as a professional speaker, with 30 years of experience, Ruth has spoken about 2012 and beyond through radio, television, seminars, and workshops. Ruth travels the world, sharing spiritual knowledge with a lighthearted touch. She is also the author of a story in Chicken Soup for the Empty Nesters. And she and her husband, Mike, live half the year in Sacramento, which is near me, and the other half, she lives actually in, So Ruth has recently returned from Kenya, Africa, where her gentle picture book, My Angel, My Friend, was blessedly received in villages, orphanages, and schools. Well, our last guest was just in Africa and was talking about the orphanages in Africa. So we are kind of going in on that theme again. And so thank you for being with us, and our listeners will really enjoy having you with us.
Oh, thank you. It's totally my pleasure, and I feel honored to be on your show. I really appreciate it. Giving me a chance to talk about my favorite subjects, anything that has to do with spirituality, especially angels or 2012.
Well, that's angels are so have been around for so long, I mean, in my lifetime anyway. And what put you on the next level to 2012?
Well, the 2012 book actually, I can't remember which being it was exactly, or which master or angel had channeled through that Dwan Washington and I were to write this book to give people heads up about times coming. And so I had actually written Laughing with Angels and My Angel, My Friend first. And the 2012 book, Visions of Earth Beyond 2012, none of that is my opinion or the opinion of Dwan Washington, who trans-channeled the information. Basically, he would go into very, very deep trans-channel after spending about 20 minutes setting the energy for the space. So only very positive, high-level beings could come through to give the information. And we never knew who was going to come through and speak or even what topic they'd be speaking about. And so none of this book is my opinion or his opinion. We don't really care about our opinion, so why would anybody else? We just really care about what's a higher truth. And there's a lot of information about this time period that's very confusing. There's a lot that's not correct. And so they, when they channeled through, they said, we don't want you to read anything about 2012. Don't talk to anyone about it until your book is out, because they said, we want this to be our book. And so sometimes it would be Mother Mary would channel through. Sometimes it would be a galactic being from another galaxy would channel through. Sometimes it would be someone from a higher dimension waiting for us to make this shift. You know, different guides and masters we never knew. And Dwan would go into such deep trance channel that the being would actually come into his his body and speak through him, which is very tricky craft. I don't at all recommend it. But the beauty of that, since he had been trained for eons to do this, is that he wasn't just giving the information saying, oh, they're showing me this or they're telling me that, because in that case, you're actually getting that person, you know, we'd be getting Dwan's interpretation. And instead, they would take him so far out, I would be able to ask the questions directly. And then when he would come back into the body, he had no clue what had gone on. And I used to tease him, oh, you're going to have to read our book to find out what it's all about. But I liked, you know, I asked basic questions. Some of the 2012 books just literally put me to sleep because they get so scientific and they're so into the left brain. And this is really a dimension of the heart. It's needs to come more from the heart space. And so I wanted to know everything about everything, but I wanted to know really basic questions that I felt most people would also want to know, such as, you know, how is this shift going to take place? Is it a physical shift for our body or just a shift in consciousness? And will we even still have physical form after this shift? And, you know, what will this higher dimension be like? I wanted to know, does our money go with us or should we spend it all now? That's a very third dimensional question. And even, will we need money? You know, where will we live? Does our house go with us and all our cool stuff? And then what about things like all the junk in my attic? You know, do I need to clean it up or is that going to stay behind? I wanted to know about the government, what that would be like, and even if there would be a government after 2012, and if there would still be a third dimensional Earth. And most importantly, who will be making this shift and what will happen if you don't make it? You know, how can we prepare? And do we need to do certain things like, you know, eat organic, meditate under a Bodhi tree? You know, what do we need to do to raise our vibration? Since it is a vibrational match that does take place during that time period. So I just tried to address as much as possible. And we'll be going into the fourth edition of the book soon. And I've asked people, please let me know if there's anything we've left out. And so far, they're like, you covered it. But I also wrote it very, very easy to understand because this is a very convoluted, difficult topic. It's one that we don't have a cellular memory of. The masses have not gone from one dimension of Earth to another dimension of Earth in mass like this ever. So we can't go back to cellular memory like we can with, you know, being the king, being the slave, being buried alive, you know, drowning, those kinds of, you know, we can get a feel for that because it's probably happened to us in some lifetime. So we have a cellular memory that kicks in. On this one, we really don't. So that's why it's important to get as much information as possible. And I always tell people, you know, some of what is in our book or what I might tell you may seem really out there. And so, you know, I ask you to stay open-minded, open-minded enough so that a little of your left brain will fall out. But I also want you to really honor yourself. And if something doesn't resonate, and that's, you know, your body's your biggest barometer. So if your body gets kind of an feeling when you hear the information that doesn't set well, then toss it out. But if the body settles, then you might want to take a look at that because maybe that is truth that, you know, you can embrace. So I, you know, this is... This is something that we're kind of going on raw faith about. So anyway, it's very exciting times, wonderful, wonderful, exciting times we're coming into, although there will be, you know, labor pains until we get there, and I know a lot of people are experiencing that right now. So I, you know, just encourage people to know that we are coming into a time period truly of heaven on earth.
Now, does this going to happen all at once, or is it gradually happening as we speak?
Well, it is gradually happening that the vibration of the earth and the vibration of those on it is being raised. And a lot of healing for the individual is being done, especially at night. If people feel, you know, or during the sleep state, if people tend to feel very tired, it's awfully good if they can take a nap because our own higher self, different guides and angels, are working with our DNA strands, increasing those as well as the chakras. And a lot of that work does happen when we're in a rest state, as well as the earth, you know, is doing its cleansing. You can see that all around us with the earthquakes, you know, tidal waves, fires, explosions, all of that helps to release negativity from the earth. So it is a process that's taking place continually. But from the information we've gotten is that when the shift happens, it will be all of a sudden. It's just like when a pilot goes through the Bermuda Triangle and he's there and then he's gone, goes into like a vortex, and it has to do with the crystals underneath the ocean in that part of the world, as well as the motion of the ocean, as well as lining, you know, everything has to be lined up in the cosmos just a certain way for that to take place. And from the information we've gotten, it is something that will be very sudden. And one of the chapters, one of my favorites, is what will the neighbors think? And someone who has a very low vibration that won't be making the shift and will be staying in third dimension of Earth could actually see someone who makes the shift basically disappear in front of their eyes. And I was told this wonderful story by a shaman that gives credibility to this time period and how it will happen. And my guides and angels had channeled through that I would meet this shaman named Running Fox and that I would do some work with him. So about 3 months later, one of my friends called up and said, oh, there's a shaman named Bobby Running Fox, and he's doing a talk in, this was in Tasmania. And so when we went to it and he found out that I had the 2012 book, he held it up and he said, pay attention. He said, this is real. And he said, I know, because I have a friend who's already ascended to the high, some call it fourth, fifth, and I can go into that a little bit too, because there's a lot of confusion around that. But anyway, he told this amazing story about when he and his friend were in their 20s, and his friend used to go around telling everybody, I'm going to ascend, I'm going to ascend. And his friends thought he was all crazy and didn't know what he was talking about. But Bobby Running Fox, being an incredible seer and healer, he knew right away. So he took his friend aside, and he said, you know, if you want to do this ascension thing, you've got to clear out some of that karma that you have with your mom. You know, he still lived at home, because he said that's holding your vibration down. So his friend goes, okay, Bobby, heal me, do whatever. So Bobby did this amazing healing on him, and I've had healings from Bobby Running Fox, and his hands literally go into you. He lives in Queensland in Australia now, but he actually grew up in San Diego. So that night when his friend went to bed, he woke up at midnight, and he saw this vortex that looked like a vortex of water swirling at the end of his bed. And that's also what the pilots say it looks very much like when they're in the Bermuda Triangle. They see like a swirling, but they would say clouds. And then if it goes away and they come back to talk about it, it's because you know, the energetics wasn't set up right. But anyway, so his friend sees this swirling of water at the end of his bed. So he puts his arm in it, and his arm disappears. And he says, wow, far out, man, because that's how we talked in the 70s, right? So he pulled his arm back, and he thought, I wonder what would happen if I put my whole body in there. So he puts his whole body in, and he's gone, just like that. So the next morning, as usual, his mom's pounding on the door trying to get him to wake up. Nothing happens, so she goes in, and she cannot believe he is not there because he never was one to get up early, much less on his own. Everything was exactly how he'd left it, but he had vanished. So she calls up Bobby, and she's just a wreck. And Bobby comes running over, and he's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this worked. So about 3 months later, his friend channels through to him, and Bobby says, where the hell are you? And he said, I told you I was going to ascend. And Bobby said, well, how did you do it? And then he told that story about the vortex of the water. And Bobby said, well, what's it like in the fourth dimension? He said, oh, this dimension of Earth is like heaven. He said, everything is so easy, and everyone is so kind and loving, and we're all in such joy. He said, whatever you want, you can manifest, you can have for yourself. And that is exactly what our book talks about. And so that is why my guides told me to spend $300 on a one-day workshop in Tasmania, was to get that information. Well, we got some wonderful other information, too. But it was just so, so validating. And
well, when we die, do we go in the fourth dimension, according to your guides?
That's a really good question. I'm so glad you asked that, because there's a lot of confusion with this. There's a big difference between fourth dimension of Earth, which is where we're headed, and fourth dimension of the heavenly planes, or we'll just say the heavenly planes and the astral planes. We will not die in our physical body to make this shift. And this is why I really think they should use the word transcend for what we're going to be doing, and keep ascend for what, like, Jesus and other masters did. What Jesus did is much, 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 much harder. Dying in the physical body on third dimension of Earth and ascending, taking the body with him into the heavenly planes, is much different. The heavenly planes and the astral planes are spiritual planes. You don't have a body. You don't need a body. You can create one for yourself, but you don't have to feed it, clothe it, water it. None of that matters. A fourth dimension of Earth is very much like third, but a much higher vibration. So to go from one dimension of Earth to another dimension of Earth is not that difficult in comparison, I'll say. And the best example that I can give people, because there's many, many dimensions of third dimensional Earth, when the Masters channeled through about this, they said, it's as if you took a bucket of sand and you took one grain out. That's your third dimension you're on right now. The rest are all different dimensions of Earth and all different dimensions. I mean, there's so many dimensions. So if anyone has seen that movie with Gwyneth Paltrow, Sliding Doors, it's an older movie, and it's not that the movie's that great, but the concept is very well explained. And Gwyneth is going down the stairs to catch a train, and a split basically takes place. She ends up on the train, and she goes home early and catches her husband in bed, ends up divorcing him. But that other split of her misses the train, doesn't catch her husband, stays with him. So now her soul has these two experiences, one of staying and one of not staying. And our soul wants to experience everything. And so that's why we do these splits. And in the Laughing with Angel book, I talk about different time periods. There's two that I have conscious memory of where I've done a split into another third dimension. It's not that you're going to bump into yourself, because you're on different dimensions of third. So there's many dimensions of third, but there's also many dimensions of fourth and fifth and sixth on up of the earth planes as well. And when you get up to the high levels of sixth dimension of earth, or especially in seventh dimension of earth, that's where you have a total light body. So when people are talking about, oh, we're going to have a light body, you won't need food or clothes, they're really talking about higher levels. That would be an extreme, extreme shift for people to make. From this extreme density, this is the hardest shift to make from our third dimensional Earth to fourth. Once you get to fourth, it's much, much easier than to go to fifth and higher dimensions from there.
Well, I'm looking forward to fourth.
Yeah, fourth. One thing they said, which I love this, they said that third dimension of Earth, the average person only experiences true joy 3% of their day or 3% of their life. And when you think about it, how much have you been in extreme joy today? But they said in fourth dimension, and right after this I'll explain fifth dimension too, they said in fourth dimension of Earth, the average person experiences extreme joy 90% of their day or 90% of their life. But we can't even compare 3 and 90%. They're just like, that's a quantum leap. And so when people are in this state of joy, which is really our true state of being, and joy is love exalted, actually. So, you know, joy kind of begets joy begets joy. You're around joyous people. Everyone is just in this happy, loving, wanting to serve, be helpful state of being. And they said every day will seem like Disneyland, which I thought was so cute, because that wouldn't be my joyous paradise to pick Disneyland. But then I started thinking about that, and I thought, you know, Disneyland, it's very clean. It is beautiful, lots of flowers. It is like fairy tale land. There's music playing all the time, and most people are pretty happy to be there. So I thought, okay, I can see why they came up with Disneyland. But I'll just quickly explain the difference between fourth and fifth dimension, because some people, originally our title was Visions of the Fourth Dimension, Earth Beyond 2012, and it was causing confusion for people, and so that's why I changed the title. But the Hopis actually called this the fifth world. So a lot of people have called it fifth dimension. But the fourth dimension, how they explained it to us, is one dimension right above this one. And this one's third, so that would be fourth. Now, there will be some people who tap in to fourth just for a short period of time. And then their vibration is so high that they move really effortlessly right into fifth dimension. But the average person will be spending a good chunk of time who makes this shift in the fourth dimension. And it will be so wonderful for them that they won't really have... It's just like someone in kindergarten loves kindergarten so much. Most don't put their focus on, gosh, I wish I was in first grade, because they're enjoying the experience that they're in. And many will be learning to manifest. They will be going to classes and school and learning all different topics, but manifesting, creating the world that you want for yourself will be a big part of it. And everyone will be out of survival, so nobody will have to work a job in order to feed and clothe themselves. So that's just going to make a huge difference as well, because people will be able to be in service. They will be able to do whatever their heart's desire is, you know, be it painting, creating music, being a stay-at-home dad. It will all be just very much a joyous experience. We're here, the main energy on the earth plane, and it was set up and designed for this, maybe not originally, but it is certainly now, is really to learn through fear, where there it's to learn through joy. And, you know,
well,
when you think about it.
There's a big difference.
How long will the third dimension stay? Some people go to the fourth dimension, not everyone goes, so they remain in the third dimension. So is that going to remain that way for a long period of time?
There will still be a third dimension as long as there are souls who still want to learn through fear, basically, because you learn so much quicker. It's not that, oh, how could they be so ignorant? How can they be so stupid and lowly? It's not seen that way at all, and it isn't that way. It's just that the soul still wants to learn more through chaos, fear, control, and that is not seen as a negative game to play, actually. And you do learn and you grow 500 times faster on a dimension like third than you do in a higher dimension. And I even asked about this because I knew that we grow so quickly through fear. And when you think about it, you learn right away if someone breaks in your house to lock your doors. And you learn right away, don't touch a hot stove if you touch a hot stove. And so learning through joy is not as quick. And on the level of soul, we want to understand and we want to learn very rapidly. And that's why we take these lifetimes on third dimension. And third dimension is considered such a difficult existence that only about 5% of all souls in existence, so I'm talking your angels, I'm talking divas, ETs, any that you could think of, will ever incarnate onto third dimension of Earth. So we are seen as the pioneers. We are seen as the bravest of souls. Even Archangel Michael is just overwhelmed with, you've come to this dimension. You're playing out such a difficult game of total disconnection, feeling total disconnection. Of course, we're never disconnected, but we agree to have those blinders put on. We agree to take that kiss of forgetfulness so that when we come to third dimension, we really can learn and about this game, you know, lock, stock, and barrel. Going through a haunted house at the fair, if they have all the lights on, and you know it's just, well, when you take a life on Earth, you know this is just the greatest illusion and it's the greatest virtual reality game you'll ever play. But as soon as you get into it, you forget. And so it's just like going in that haunted house. You're like, okay, I know this is just fake. But you get on that little ride at the fair and you go through and all the lights are out and things are popping out at you and scaring you. You come out the other side and you're like, ooh, that was really scary. Now, if all the lights are on and you come out the other side and someone's like, what was the experience like? It was nothing. Well, you haven't gotten the experience. So that's why we do it, really, is for rapid growth and understanding, because we understand so much more out of the game, out of, I'm not explaining that well, we understand so much more when we don't feel the connection to the Godhead, and then you can understand what that connection is. Does that make sense? I don't know if I explained that well.
Yes.
Yeah, and so if we, you know, agree to come in totally with disconnection, and then we're like, oh, now I really can appreciate the connection. I can really appreciate the divine flowing through me, which is what we will totally feel when this shift takes place, by the way. Everybody will feel that connection and the divine flowing through
me. When people pass away, this is going to seem odd, but when I've talked to people on the other side, they say they're going to school, a lot of them. And are they going to school to look at what dimension they want to come back into, or?
Well, there's a lot of schools of knowledge and learning on the other side, and so nothing. I mean, they could go to a school for art. Like my dad, he was this really serious math professor, and he's decided he wants to come back as a tap dancer. I'm like, well, you better start practicing over there, because it's not that easy to just come in and decide to be a tap dancer here next lifetime. And so there could be schools for that. There can be schools of knowledge and great learning so that you can understand about the cosmos and how everything works. I would just ask next time you connect with them. But there's even schools. I love this. My guides told me this. There's even schools, guide schools, like if a soul wants to become a guide.
Right.
They actually have to go to guide school to learn how to do it, because your spirit guides so love you that, like, more than you can even imagine, that they, unless they went to school to learn how to correctly guide you, they would want to just make everything better and take away all your karmic experiences and just totally pave the way for you. And so they have to learn when to watch and when to rescue. And that's one of the most difficult jobs for them. And so they even have schools for that on the other side.
I just listened to a little 10-year-old. I think she was on Oprah's show. She sings opera.
Oh, yeah.
And her voice is the most gorgeous voice you'd ever could listen to. And she speaks like a little adult.
Yeah.
And so she must have gone to an incredible school over there to become an opera singer coming back to third dimension.
And she's probably had many, many lifetimes as a singer as well. And so she can draw on those gifts that you have. Just like I've had many lifetimes as a writer, and so I've never taken a writing class, and I've never, you know, I just had like English 101 in college, and that was pretty boring. But people who, you know, like an artist who's just really good at it, usually has had many lifetimes where they can draw on those skills they've built up previously.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, I was so lucky to be able to have in my hand your children's book, My Angel, My Friend. And did you do some of the illustrations in that book?
Yes, actually, I did all of the illustrations. And it's kind of funny because I don't have a painting background at all. I've never taken a painting class. I just took, you know, in seventh grade, Mrs. Schott's class, a little art class that we had to take. But I just called the angels and I went out into the backyard. I didn't even know what kind of paper to get. And it's just, you know, just got watercolor paper and watercolors. Went out into the backyard and told the angels, now you're going to have to help me because I don't know what I'm doing. And they really painted it through me. Now, you can tell from the book, some of the pictures look like someone much younger, like a little child painted them, and some of the pictures look like the person really knew what they were doing painted them. And so it's not like I have a style. I don't consider myself an illustrator. But the reason I was able to even have the self-esteem to think I could publish a book I painted myself, and the book basically is just, it's 44 pages, and it's all very bright watercolors with just one sentence per page, because I wanted the child to go into their own imagination with their guardian angel and not get caught up in the words of it. But just before I did this book, I had gone through an exercise that we have that was channeled through, actually Jesus channeled it through, and it's in the Visions of 2012 book. And this was a process that he taught the disciples. He learned it in Egypt when he was a youth. And it's very, very powerful, and it's called clearing the 13 original fear cells that we all agreed to have implanted in our third chakra before we incarnated for the very first time on Earth. And It only takes about 7 minutes to do, but you do it for each cell and you do it over a certain number of days. And what it does is it transforms those original fear cells into creativity imagination cells. So when these cells have been transformed, you don't have fears that, you know, there's just not that law of attraction where you're going to think, oh, no, I can't do this. And so nothing really holds you back. It's absolutely huge. And so I have the process. It tells you exactly what steps to take. I think it's on page 271. But anyway, that's a very, very powerful. And it was supposed to go, well, originally it did go into the Bible, and the priests realized the extreme power that people would have if they didn't have these fear cells, and so it was taken out of the Bible. But it's really time for people to come back. It's one of the most, and, you know, get the exercise. It's probably one of the most, the easiest and one of the most powerful methods of clearing fear that
what
I know
book
of.
Is that in? What book
That's in the Visions of Earth Beyond 2012 book. At the back of that book, there's a lot of processes for raising your vibration, because if you don't raise your vibration, since you have to have a vibrational match for these higher dimensions, it will make the transition much more difficult. And it also, you will tend to end up in a higher level, if that makes sense, of the dimension, the higher your vibration is. Just like on third dimension of Earth, you could say, well, Mount Shasta has a higher vibration than, say, Iraq, okay? And, you know, you can kind of see, oh, yeah, lower, higher. Now, it won't be to those extremes, of course, in the higher dimensions of Earth, but it still gives you a reason for really raising that vibration as much as you can before the big old shift takes place.
I just want to let people know that you do have a class this coming Saturday in Campbell, California, which is in our area here, Saturday, November the 6th, and it's going to be held at a private home, and they can contact you and make that connection so that the children can come, and you're going to help them make little angels or something.
Going to make the little puppet. I'll bring all the materials and read the book, and we do a little blessing, and they make the puppet. They have to have help, you know, with a parent, and that workshop's only $22, and it's from 10:30 to noon. That's not this Saturday, but the next Saturday, not, you know, this coming one. And then, so what people should do is email me. I'll also be doing a class that night at Moonfire in Campbell, and that's from 7:30 to 9, and that's all about 2012. And then Friday before, on the 5th, I'll be doing a talk in Los Gatos on 2012. And then Thursday, before that, I'll be doing a talk in Monterey. And since I've done one there before on 2012, that will go a little into some different information, not quite as basic as the one I'll be doing Friday night. And
well, you might
actually have... It's going to be at the Inner Journey in Los Gatos.
Yeah, Inner Journey in Los Gatos, and that one is free. Most of the talks are either free or they're very low charge. And then tonight I'm doing a talk at Christ Unity Church right off of Bradshaw in Sacramento, and that's at 7 o'clock. And then January 8th, 9th, and 10th, I've got talks in Melbourne, Australia. If anybody's listening, I know some of my friends in Australia are listening. And so the best is for people to email me, and then I can send them flyers about the information, or they can call me, and my email is RUTH and then a dot MAGAN, so it looks like Megan, @gmail.com, and or calling my cell is totally fine, and that's 916-834-9300. And I'd be happy to give information if anybody's interested. And I'm also selling the books at a discount if anyone would like to email me or call. I'll be selling all the books at quite a discount.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, we don't need to say what the costs are at this point.
Fine.
So they
yeah.
need to call you and find out. But, you know, right. all the Taz and Paula show listeners do get a special discount. And,
yeah.
wow. So
yeah, if you have any listeners out there have little children or grandchildren, be sure to go to the Angel Workshop for Children. That sounds like so much fun, and
it'll be very fun.
Yeah,
it's very special, and an aspect of their guardian angel, as well as their own, the child's own soul energy, goes into the puppet, and because the puppet's movable, these children have a connection to this puppet like you can't believe. And I've seen ones that are a couple years old because they're very sturdy puppets. You can really play with them and sleep with them and carry them around, although they're very easy to make. It's just a little bit of hand sewing. And I've had children as young as 2.5 and as old as 13, boys and girls. I had 9-year-old boys in Australia that just, 3 of them, that just thought this was the greatest thing ever. And I take the children on a very short guided meditation. And, you know, if they're 2 years old and they're walking around making noise, I don't worry about any of that. I taught elementary school, kindergarten through 6th grade. So I'm, you know how to work with children without a problem there. But it will be, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And so just contact me and I'd be happy to share more information with you.
You're going to think I'm crazy when I say this.
Oh, I never do.
You have an angel accent.
Oh, that's so
because
cute.
People who speak to angels, they have that little lilt at the end of, and you have that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I know that people who pray to their angel and talk to their angel and guides a lot, actually, that shows up in their auric field. But I'd never heard that in the voice, so that's really interesting. But they say that because it shows up in the auric field, then others can see that on an energetic level, even if they can't consciously see it. But it does shift the aura a little bit. So that's reason alone to connect with guides and angels. And I give really easy ways in the Laughing with Angel book to do this. And I stress you don't ever have to hear them, see them, feel them, taste them, or smell them. That doesn't make any difference. And I show people how you can get a very close, personal, playful, fun, helpful, that's the main thing, relationship going with them without having any psychic gifts. And I think what happens is people feel like, well, if I can't hear them or I can't see them or feel them, well, then what's the point? And what I encourage, it's just like with your pets or a little baby. You know, you're going to talk to them. You just develop that relationship through raw faith. You know, that saying, blessed are they that believe without seeing. That's really so much more powerful than really someone, I mean, Doreen Virtue, it was easy for her. She saw guides and angels as easily as we see each other. She couldn't really differentiate when she was young between them and a third-dimensional person. Now that she's older, it's more as if she sees them just on a TV screen, but they hear them with total clarity. Okay, there takes no faith there, but most people don't have the virtues of Doreen. So they need to be able to know just with their faith that you have got many, many guides and angels, especially a very special guardian angel. And in the book I talk about the difference between guides and angels and how you get your guardian angel in the first place and, you know, what their purpose is. And just to start communicating, just like you would with your pet, don't expect to hear them back. And just start asking them for help in this situation, that situation. When you're driving, you just point things out as if they're right there, which they are. They're always there. And that's what I did. And it wasn't until I'd worked with them quite a while. Then on just a couple occasions, one in Tasmania, one here in Sacramento, I saw one of my spirit guides, Mel, just sitting there in a pair of blue jeans. And then another time I saw my guardian angel. And so I told him, I said, okay, you guys can do this. You can manifest in third dimension, which is very, very hard for them to do. It's kind of like us diving into the deepest of ocean because it's so dense here. And I said, show up more often. Look, we'll have fun. We'll, you know, we'll play cards. We'll eat pizza. And what they told me is, you know what? You saw us. That was, you know, so that you could write about it in your book. And to tell people how I was able to do it, which is kind of like when you look at that 3D poster and your eyes go through it, that's how you are able to kind of see through the dimensions. But they said, really, it's not the purpose for most in third dimension to see us and hear us. And if it is part of your soul path to do that, then you will. But the more you aspire to it, it's kind of the paradox. The harder you try, the more it pushes it away. So what's really important is start getting to help you in your life. You know, parking places, everyone usually starts out with that one. That's a great one. I'm always getting mine. Not only do I tell them, find me a parking place, but I want the meter to have money in it. And then,
well, you just push
helpful.
The limit, don't you?
Oh, yes. And that's such, I'm so glad you brought that up, because with this, there is no limit. And this is where people get into a lot of confusion, because in third dimension, we learn from our mom, tie your own shoes, do it yourself, I'm busy, because she's in third dimension body too and only has so much, you know, time and energy. But your guides and angels, because they don't have physical form, can be all places at once. They can be guiding more than one person at once. They don't get tired. They don't need to sleep. And it is their sole purpose, which it really is all of ours, but they know this, to be of service. They actually grow in love and light by serving others. They want to help you in every little tiny area. So just for example, and there's angels for every aspect of everything on earth, and you have spirit guides that have certain specialties as well. But for example, with the angels, when I have a big seminar the next day, a lot of times I don't bring all my hair stuff, you know, especially if I'm traveling around. So I call in the angel of hairdos. You don't have to know the name, right? And I'm just like, okay, tomorrow I want to wake up and have my hair be perfect. And trust me, my hair has got issues. It can be like Bozo on the top. No, Bozo on one side and Dennis the Menace on the top.
Why
if I don't call the angel of hairdos in. Yeah. So every time without fail that I call the angel of hairdos in, the next morning I wake up and my hair is perfect. So I was taking a walk on the beach with Dwan, who is the one that trans-channeled the 2012 book. And I'm like, Dwan, this is kind of weird. I just call the angel of hairdos in and it just so works. Well, he's always pretty connected to different guides and angels. So right away, the angel of hairdos starts channeling through. And she's like, of course I helped you. Why wouldn't I? You asked. And she said, please ask for every little thing. And I thought, that is so amazing to me, because it doesn't have to be something big like birthing a baby. It can be something small like baking a cake. They grow and expand through helping.
I called in a mechanic for my husband.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. And it worked, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it did.
Well, there's an actual archangel who is in charge of all the mechanics, and his name is Archangel Rufus. And when he first came into us, he looked like kind of short, stocky little guy with grease under his fingernails, because they'll take on a valence that we can relate to. And he's incredible. We had our car break down in the middle of nowhere in Tasmania. And I'm like, Archangel Rufus, you've got to help us, because what are we going to do? You've got to get us to this gas station. And it was about 6 miles away. Sure enough, we made it against all odds. And so I've used him for the washing machine. And you don't have to know their names either. You know, just the Archangel, like you did, a guide. Always ask of one from the most high and positive spiritual nature, because you don't want to get, you know, some guy who's just crossed over, who had his little service station, but may not have the energetics to help you as much.
Yeah.
So it's good to call in the most high, but also you want to be specific in what you ask for, because if you just ask for help, like I say,